I'm lost inside myself, can't find a way through the light.
Vous êtes sur Art District Radio et c'est l'heure de retrouver Luke Seabright dans Jazz Interview pour une rencontre en anglais avec un artiste de jazz. Passez un très bon moment sur Art District.
Hi everybody, this is Luke Seabright and welcome to our Jazz Interview program. I'm here today with Fiona Ross, a London-based jazz musician and composer. Her latest album is entitled Just Me and Sometimes Someone Else and was released in April of this year, hot on the heels of her first release, A Twist of Blue, which came out in 2016. You can listen to her music on Spotify and follow her on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Fiona, thanks so much for chatting with us today.
Hi.
First of all, congrats on your latest album. You must be really thrilled about that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I am rather excited, I have to say.
So, writing, recording an album, that's obviously a tremendous feat. But then, of course, there's the next step, right?
Yeah.
Getting it out there, getting your music heard, promoting it. So, how are you going about that?
Oh, God. I guess it's a long process. Twitter's been incredibly helpful. I have to say, I've made so many kind of good contacts and actually met loads of fellow jazz musicians,
yeah,
which has been really good. And in fact, I recently performed at the London Jazz Platform event.
And that's a new festival in London, right?
A brand new festival. Excuse me. Brand new festival. First time this year, organised by Sammy Stein, who's a kind of jazz journalist. And we got chatting through Twitter. We were talking, and I kind of looked at this event and thought, this is amazing. And we started kind of messaging each other, and I ended up doing a set there, which is brilliant. And from that, I met kind of loads of other musicians that, yeah, kind of, you know, feel like I'm in some kind of circle now, which has all helped, you know, the promotion. And I've got a, yeah, few articles coming out. I'm just kind of trying to get on it with getting the word out there and getting as many gigs in as possible.
Yeah, you mentioned gigs and performing, so I'm kind of curious to know about sort of what your attitude to performing is in general. Like, is that something that you really enjoy?
That's all I want to do.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. I think you know, I have a lot of people ask me with the album about sales, and it's like, I know from a business point of view it's the wrong thing to say,
yeah,
but I genuinely don't care about making money at all. For me, it's just, I mean, a dream world is that I can spend all my day writing new music and practicing and then just gigging evenings, and,
yeah,
and that would be all I would do.
Yeah.
So that would be the dream. Obviously.
So studio time is not really your thing?
Oh, no, well, I do like being in the studio. I think it's a different type of pressure from a piano. Interestingly, I find it's fine in the studio, but singing, I have to really, it's a challenge for me to kind of get that performance in a studio situation, because also I think when I'm performing live, I belt an awful lot and I kind of put significant energy. I don't know why, it just kind of comes out, and I,
yeah,
know I sing differently when I perform in a live situation to the studio, and quite often I have to kind of tone,
yeah,
my vocals back. So I think singing in a studio is more of a challenge for me, but,
yeah,
no, I love it all. I don't care whether it's, you know, I'm quite happy in my music room kind of just writing,
yeah,
and singing, or in a rehearsal. I love my rehearsals, but for me it's just about performing. That's,
yeah,
that's kind of what I want to
do. Do you get stressed when you perform?
Or? No, I love it.
Oh, lucky you. Awesome.
Well, do you know what, I think that's because, you know, I trained in performing arts, so I've been performing, I think technically since I was like 2 or something, so I've literally been brought up from I don't know any different, so I've,
yeah,
I've never had that kind of nerves. And I mean, I like the pressure. I mean, there's obviously pressure if you're going to perform, but not in a, I use that,
yeah,
energy to kind of make me be as good as I can be, but,
yeah,
now I don't get nervous.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Being from London myself, I'm quite curious to know, like, your opinion of London as a place to perform and as sort of like a place to kickstart your career. Like, how do you find it?
I think for jazz, not as good as it should be.
Yeah. Okay.
I think well, from my point of view, and again looking just at the industry, I mean, Ronnie Scott's is kind of the place,
yeah.
and all the greats from your kind of Ella Fitzgerald to kind of everyone now. That's, and for me, that would be the ultimate if I could actually have my own gig as an artist on the main stage at Ronnie Scott's. And that is pretty much the biggest jazz venue in London. There's a lot of other smaller ones, and don't get me wrong, there's some great venues out there. But the reputation of Ronnie Scott's is key. But if you compare that to somewhere like New York, like just New York, there's 20 huge kind of established jazz venues. So I think for jazz, it's growing definitely in London, but it's not as big as it should be. And that's where I think like the London Jazz Platform event was really good, because it was kind of branching out a bit, and we need more events like that.
Yeah, totally, we do. Have you had a chance to go to New York?
I've been to New York a couple of times. The last time I went, it was a bit, because Michel Camilo is one of my huge kind of heroes,
yeah.
and he very rarely plays over here.
Yeah.
And I decided, and he plays in New York at the Blue Note all the time, and I decided that I just had to go and see him. So I went Friday night, I flew out to New York, and it was like, because of the time difference, it was like, I don't know, 3 a.m. by the time I got there. And I just kind of, it was New York, so I kind of went around, did a bit of touristy things, went to see him in the evening at the Blue Note, and then kind of flew home on the Sunday. So that was the last time I was in New York.
But was he incredible?
I love New York. He was amazing. Oh my God. Yeah. He was absolutely amazing.
One of my favourite concert memories too.
Yeah. Him and Hiromi, for me, from a pianist point of view, are two people I literally would drop everything and go and see if I could.
So I'd love to talk a bit more about the album.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us a bit about like the story behind it, how it came to be?
Oh God. Okay. Well, I mean, it's a double album, but it wasn't meant to be a double album. So I did kind of the second half of it, which is all kind of full band stuff. I wrote that almost a couple of years ago and recorded it, and did like a pre-album launch gig, which went really well. But for some reason afterwards, I wasn't entirely happy with it. I wasn't entirely happy with the musicians on it.
Yeah.
I think I couldn't pinpoint why, it just wasn't sitting right with me. So I didn't do anything with it after this pre-album launch gig for a good 6 months or so. Meanwhile, I kind of was still writing, and I wrote this kind of acoustic album over Christmas. And then I decided, well, hang on, I've got this other album, what am I going to do with that? So I kind of got a new band together, new musician, rearranged things. And suddenly I had kind of 20 songs that were kind of there and ready. So I thought, okay, well, let's put them all on one album. So it should have been two separate albums, but because the kind of timing of it all came together, ended up being one album. But it's two different sides. I said that the acoustic side is a little bit more personal, I guess, and kind of quite intimate, which I wanted to get across with the writing, but also the production of it, because it's just either kind of guitar and vocal or piano and vocal. And then in contrast, kind of with the second half, to have it a lot more kind of, a lot more energy.
Hence the name maybe, right? Just Me and Sometimes Someone
Else. Yeah, well, I think
there's
many ways to look at that, because that's the thing on the album is sometimes you've got a song that's kind of really sad and depressing and kind of I'm about to slip my wrist kind of thing, and then you've got a song on the other half that's more kind of like, yeah, don't mess with me, I'm sassy and I'm strong and all the rest of it. Sometimes it's I'm that in different points, so sometimes it's just me and I'm like this, but sometimes I'm kind of someone else. There are many different levels to that.
Do you feel like this album represents do you feel like you've stepped up a gear in a way, and that like things are starting to gain momentum a bit with this album?
I don't know why. It just it feels like the time is right.
Yeah.
And I can't pinpoint why, and loads of people have said that to me, because obviously, you know, I'm not kind of 18 and I've been doing this a while, but as an artist myself, I haven't actually been doing that for very long.
Yeah.
I've worked as a session musician, I've done loads and loads of different things for other people.
Yeah, because your first album was in 2016, right?
Yeah.
So did it just feel like the right time?
I mean, again, I wrote and recorded that one quite some time ago.
Yeah.
And due to kind of, you know, many other kind of different things that were going on, I didn't do anything with it at the time. And then thought, you know what, let me just release that one just before I release kind of the big one, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know why, but it just feels like everything's slotting in together and it's kind of the right time to kind of do this. I don't I don't really know why, but...
Awesome.
Yeah.
You mentioned, yeah, that, like, you've been involved in music for ages, right? In lots
yeah.
of different capacities, right? Yeah. So can you tell us a bit about, like, your path in music up until now, like, what you've been doing?
Oh, God, okay, that's epic. Well, yeah, I trained in dance, drama and music.
Okay.
So I think I started learning the piano when I was 6. Also did kind of dance. I went to stage school, so I did the whole performing artsy
yeah.
kind of thing. Did a lot of West End work and all that kind of thing. But then I got married and had 2 children when I was quite young. So actually, I was still at school when I had my first child. So that kind of changed my kind of direction as far as me doing this whole stage
yeah.
stardom thing. So it was about kind of what can I be doing alongside kind of looking after my kids. And so music kind of, which was always there, I started teaching, started doing session work, because obviously I think the fitness thing of being a dancer when you've just had kids is kind of a slightly different thing to juggle. So I kind of fell into music a little bit more as a career, if you like.
Yeah, you mentioned music education, right? That has been and still is today, right? A big part
yeah.
of your work?
Yeah, well, I first started teaching outrageously when I was 16.
Oh, wow.
I know, crazy.
What were you teaching?
Well, it's piano.
Okay.
Because I was doing some part-time work as a accompanist at a ballet school.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the parents said, oh, yeah, I wish you'd teach my daughter. And I'm like, look, I'm 16. I don't know anything about teaching. I'm still a child, you know. And I said no. And then someone convinced me, oh, give it a go. It's a bit, you know, a bit of extra money. And, yeah, just found it to be something that actually I really enjoyed doing and
yeah.
really like. And I don't know why, but kind of just genuinely like helping people, not in that
yeah.
kind of cheesy way. I like to see people succeed and get confidence. So I ended up doing lots of private kind of tuition for piano and then eventually vocal and music
yeah.
theory, and then ended up kind of teaching in a college, and then ended up kind of head of department and kind of, yeah, I ended up as the head of the British Academy of New Music, which I left about a year ago now, I think.
Yeah.
So education has been a huge part.
Yeah, and you say it's teaching people, it's helping people, but in a way it's collaborating as well, right? You play with some of your ex-students, right?
Oh God, yeah, I love that. My band are mostly my ex-students.
Mm.
And I was talking to someone about this the other day, because I don't know what it is, but I love that. I love that my bassist
yeah.
mm. used to be my student and my guitarist did.
That must feel pretty rewarding, right?
It really does, actually.
Yeah.
And I can't pinpoint why it is, but yeah, I love that. And in fact, because I'm recording the next album, my guitarist, Jibby, he's got a studio as well. So I'm recording the next album in his studio.
Oh, awesome.
So again, not just from a guitarist point of view, but also kind of his studio and to help him out that way. So yeah, no, I love that. I love working with my ex-students.
Can you tell us a bit more about the new album?
Oh.
What you're allowed to divulge?
Well, isn't that funny? Because I keep saying to people I'm writing, it's like, well, what do I say? I've written 10 songs, the 11th one's nearly done. My first rehearsal actually is next week with the band.
Exciting.
I've booked the studio, so I start recording the end of July. So I've got a title for it. It won't be a double like the other one. And it's got more of a concept behind it. Whereas the last two albums have just been whatever's in my head
yeah.
and kind of just however I was feeling at the time. Whereas this one's got more of a story behind it, which I don't want to say too much about because I'm going to be quite intrigued as to what people take out
yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
Because I know obviously what it's about, but I think people will perceive certain things. Because like my last albums, they're all very much about me, very personal to me. So this next album could be perceived as the same, and it might well be about me, but it also might not be about me. But I tell you what, I have just started to think about, I want to release a book of photography to go with it.
Awesome.
Because I think a lot of the promotion I've been doing, what everyone seems to like is the behind the scenes shots.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested in photography. I mean, I'm not a photographer, but I always take kind of photos wherever I am, of instruments and studios.
So would it be photos documenting
the journey? Yeah.
Cool.
So
yeah.
I've got a photographer coming to the first rehearsal just to do some behind the scenes shots. So I want to take photos of the whole process from the first rehearsal and probably some of me writing of the whole process right up to the album release.
Awesome.
So I literally just decided to do that last week, so that's kind of, I'm quite excited about that.
You're producing this album yourself,
yes.
right? And that was the case for the two previous albums.
Yes, the first one I didn't produce, but the last one
okay.
just me I did, yes.
Was did that feel like just the right thing to do for you? I mean, presumably that comes with its challenges, right?
It does, yeah, and I think, because it sounds like a control thing, which I guess in some ways it is, but it's not a deliberate, it's just kind of, I think the control evolves out of the process. So if I'm in the studio and we've recorded something, I know at that moment how I want it to sound and what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So it's not a pre-planned of I want to take control of this situation. So I kind of fell into producing it just by default of me saying, well, no, it needs to be this, it needs to be that. But it's the first time I've kind of properly produced, and it was really nice. I had a couple of, you know, not many people know I produced it. They kind of, most people think I'm a singer and that's the thing I do, which obviously I do. But no, it was quite a challenge. So I think this time I'm kind of going to give the production side of it even more thought to see if I can step up a gear with that.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I'm so excited about the new album. Thanks so much for this chat, Fiona. It's been really nice talking to you today. Once again, that was Fiona Ross. Her latest album is called Just Me and Sometimes Someone Else. It's on Spotify, so go ahead and check out her wonderful voice. You can follow her on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Thanks so much, Fiona.
Thank you.
I'm Luke Seabright, and that was our jazz interview program. Bye-bye.
I don't want to love you, baby, but I can't seem to let you go. I don't want to love you, baby, I'm just scared, you know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It seems I've fallen in love with you. Is it right or is it wrong? Should I listen to my head or should I listen to my heart? I've tried to run away from it all, but you keep on coming back to me, and it feels like I just won't be.
C'était Jazz Interview avec Luc Seabright. Vous pouvez écouter cette émission les mardis et jeudis à 8h et 14h et retrouver tous nos podcasts sur notre site internet artdistrict-radio.com. Très belle journée à notre écoute.
Scared, you know. I don't wanna love you, baby, but I can't seem to let you go. I don't wanna love you, baby, I'm just scared, you know. Tell me, is this real? Do I stop it now? Give up the fight? Tell me, is this just scared, you know.